if some sampradayas say that Radharani's worship is not mentioned in the scripture, then how do we develop faith in her worship? Actually, it is not that her worship is not mentioned. There is the Brahma Vaivarta Puran, the Padma Puran, and even the at least these two Puranas talk elaborately about Krishna Bhakti, about with Radharani involved in it. And there is a principle that in the spiritual life there are broad principles and there are some specifics. So we understand that the worship of Radha and Krishna is confidential. That way, if you want to look at the Vedas themselves don't contain many references to Krishna. There are many references to Indra, there are some references to Vishnu, but not many references to Krishna directly. There is of course the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, which talks about worshipping Krishna, but directly in the four Vedas, we will not have so many references. So we have to see the presence or absence of something based on the purpose of that thing. So the Vedas are primarily books which talk about karmakanda, which talk about the worship of the Lord for getting material things. And for karmakanda worshippers, Indra is their ideal. Because it said that Indra did so many yajnas and by which he went to heaven and he has become Indra now. Similarly, if you do yajnas, you will become Indra. So if, say, there is a book which is like a business guide for Indians. So then that will talk about all the top businessmen in India. Now that may not talk about the Prime Minister of India. And what to speak of if the Prime Minister has a pet name which his parents refer to him, which his loved ones refer to him. That may not appear anywhere in that book. Now this book may be very popular in India, but that doesn't mean that it contains everything that is important about India. It is everything that is relevant for the audience of that book. So similarly, the Vedas are Trigunya Vishaya Veda, the Bhagavad Gita says. So in the Vedas, the name of Krishna is not mentioned because that is not the primary purpose of the Vedic text themselves. The Vedic body of knowledge is different from the Vedic text. The Vedic body of knowledge is much bigger than the four Vedas themselves. There are the Itihasa, there are the Puranas. The Bhagavatam focuses largely on Krishna. So just as I said, because Krishna is God at home, Vishnu is God in office. So the Prime Minister may be mentioned occasionally in a book for businessmen because they may have to interact with the Prime Minister. So similarly, Vishnu is mentioned in the Bhagavat, in the Vedas much more than Krishna. Now moving forward, Radharani is the consort of Krishna. And normally Radharani, she is simply the topmost devotee and she is the giver of pure devotion. So most people, they want fortune and they think of fortune in material terms. So there is worship of Lakshmi. So Vishnu and Lakshmi or Lakshmi and Narayan, they are mentioned quite frequently and their worship is also talked about. But Radharani is, Krishna himself is God at home and Radharani is the goddess of fortune at home. So if say the Prime Minister or the President has a wife, now the wife will play a particular role or have a particular profile in office, but she may have a completely different profile at home, the way she acts, the way she behaves. Now their relationship may be quite different and the intimate aspects of their relationship are not going to be there for the world to see. So similarly, in the case of the Prime Minister or his wife, they are the same person in two different places. Sometimes at home, sometimes in the office. With respect to Krishna, they are not just the same person, but they are same person and different personalities. And both exist simultaneously. So, Radha and Krishna exist eternally as do Lakshmi and Narayan. And Radha and Krishna are God at the divine couple at home. So that's why because Radharani is the consort of the confidence of God at home, she's not mentioned much in the scriptures. Now rather than focusing on the specific scriptural references, if we broadly understand the purpose of scripture, then we can also understand the paucity of explicit scriptural references. But more important than the presence or absence of scriptural references, we have to look at whether the purpose is fulfilled. we can see that there are many, many great devotees who had enormous devotion to Radharani. And they are absorbed in a very high state, exalted state of love for the Lord and for Radharani. So somebody may say that, now, if a particular doctor tells a patient, you know, oh, you're going to this doctor and you're taking this medicine is wrong. This prescription is wrong. But now, if the patient is not taking that, patient is just about to start taking the treatment, hey, is this doctor wrong? Maybe I should not take this treatment. So that doubt will be there. But if somebody has gone to that other doctor, if Dr. A is saying Dr. B's prescription is wrong, but somebody has gone to Dr. B and they have already been cured by that patient, that prescription, then it's like telling a patient prescription wrong, and the patient says, but I'm cured. So if you're cured, then the prescription is obviously not wrong. So we can see that there are many devotees who are devoted to Radharani and they have developed exalted levels of love for Radharani. And we can, in our own lives, if we pray to Radharani, if we worship Radharani, if we especially and learn to appreciate the intimate loving exchanges between Krishna and the gopis, we will feel ourselves devotionally enormously enriched. So if we take the prescription, we will experience the healing, the transformation, and that will be the ultimate conviction. So if some Vaishnava sampradaya starts saying that Radharani's worship is not mentioned, we simply understand that, you know, that is not being emphasized in their tradition, and that is why that may not be talked about so much. But even in the Sri Vaishnava tradition, where there is a prominent teacher who says that, you know, there is no mention of Radharani, actually the Sri Vaishnava tradition itself, we have one of the most prominent acharyas, Vedanta Deshika. And Vedanta Deshika has actually composed many verses glorifying Srimati Radharani. So it is sad that some of the present teachers of some sampradayas don't even look holistically at their own tradition. So there is a lot of reference to the worship of, there are references to the worship of Radharani. Now Vedanta Deshika was one of the most prominent followers of Ramanacharya. After Ramanacharya, there were two main followers. There was Vedanta Deshika and there was Pillai Lokacharya. So he has mentioned, Vedanta Deshika has mentioned about Radharani. So that and there are verses on my website. If you search for this question which you have asked, you will find the references to Radharani's worship and Radharani being glorified even by Vedanta Deshika. That's why if somebody is insistent on it, there is no need to get into a confrontation with them. We can simply focus on practicing our own bhakti, and when we experience the enrichment of our devotion through the practice of our bhakti, then there will be no doubt left for us. Okay? Does it answer your question?
Amazing, bro. Thank you so much.